We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season, and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft. But Greg doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink. Which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
UCLA basketball was number 2 in the nation. They've slipped a little bit after a slip up in Las Vegas. A rematch against Gonzaga was a highlight of the week-long stay out there in the entertainment capital of the world. The only place that could host that kind of get-together, right? The Bruins lost the biggie, but they won the undercards. They are 6-1 now as they get ready to host Colorado in a conference game this Wednesday night. This is Josh Lewin. Thanks for being here, and a shout-out to both Guerrilla Marketing and Newport Rib Company off the top. Let's go game by game from this past week. 3 games in Vegas. And first up, the Bellarmine Knights, a school relatively new to Division I and the warm-up act for the Gonzaga game. Let's go back to Monday at T-Mobile Arena. Here's what Tracy Murray and I had to say after it was over.
Well, get out your change. The swear jar is going to get full, I do believe, in that UCLA Bruins locker room. Yes, they won. They are 5-0. They're the number 2 team in the nation. That's all great. But, Tracy, this kind of performance tonight against Gonzaga tomorrow is not going to end well. They do beat Bellarmine tonight 75-62, but not their finest work.
They play like this tomorrow night, it's going to be a 30-point thrashing. The Bruins cannot bring this effort to Gonzaga tomorrow night.
I still believe it's just like clearing your throat before you go on stage in front of the whole world. You know, this is the one, if you got to get sludge out of the system, this is how and where and when you do it. There are probably only about 3,000 people in this arena tonight. Be many more than that against Gonzaga tomorrow. You're going to be prime time. The Bruins, when they are prime time, are phenomenal. We learned that last year as they made that miracle run through Indianapolis. But for some reason, kind of playing the, to put it in NASCAR terms, you're on the Busch circuit and you're not on that big NASCAR circuit. You know, you still got to run the race. You still got to drive your car.
Yeah, absolutely. I don't care if there's a little bit of oil on the track. You have to find a way. You know, that tire pops, you got to find a way to get to the pit, get another tire on, and get back around that track and win.
So some guys that we know are capable of greatness, Jules Bernard, Tiger Campbell, Jaime Jaquez, that trio started out 3-for-26. Now, they started to hit some shots at the end, thankfully, but before they did, David Singleton was hitting shots, so was Peyton Watson. Those two guys kind of saved the bacon tonight.
Yeah, if those guys don't come to play, the Bruins lose this game.
You had Peyton with his breakout night, 9 of 12 from the field. He even swished in a three-pointer. He had four rebounds, a couple of steals. He played 20 minutes, and he was a plus 19. Yep. Johnny Juzang was a minus 3 in this game. I mean, yes, he hit some deep Steph Curry threes for basically all of his points in this one. The threes that were more regular, right? I mean, like the 21-footers, not the 28-footers. Those he was missing, and he was passing to no one sometimes tonight. He had four turnovers.
Yeah, I mean, passing to the other team. Johnny's got to be Johnny Jump Shot tomorrow, and he can't be too aggressive or too thirsty. He's got to be patient. He's got to make plays for other people besides himself. Jules Bernard is going to have to bring his game because he was absent tonight. Tiger Campbell is going to have to bring his jump shot that he has been shooting at the beginning of this season because that was going tonight. And Hawkins did everything else but score.
Well, that's a fascinating subplot to this game. It's Hawkins, who had one of his worst nights shooting, did everything else so brilliantly. 8 rebounds, 5 assists, 4 steals, and a block. And so many times, Tracy, he gets into a passing lane and just gums up the works. It doesn't show up in the box score, but you know he did it.
Yeah, but that's why he's valuable. That's why you can't take him out the game. That's why he's exhausted after every game. You need him on the floor. He defends the best player. He rebounds the basketball. He makes plays for everybody else. By the way, I have to score the basketball too and assist it. So, I mean, he does a lot. And he doesn't get the credit he deserves.
Little hip, hip hooray for Miles Johnson, too, because he almost had himself a double-double. He ended up with 9 points, 11 rebounds. 8 of the 11 rebounds were on the offensive glass. He had a little Jelani McCoy thing working tonight.
Yeah, I mean, you got to do what you got to do. You got the 9 points. You got the rebounds. He's got to follow that up tomorrow because guess what? Drew Timmy's in town.
Oh, Drew Timmy and the mustache. And there's some other very good players, including Chet Holmgren, the freshman sensation.
Chet is a tremendous player. Drew Timmy's been channeling his inner Hakeem Olajuwon with the post moves and footwork. And I mean, this team is very good. And if the Bruins come with this same game and same effort tomorrow, it can get ugly fast.
My guess is that's exactly what's being communicated by Mick Cronin right now as Gonzaga gets set, by the way, to take on Central Michigan. Hopefully it'll be a chippy Chippewa team that'll take some of the starch out of their collar because obviously Gonzaga, number one in the nation, feeling great about itself. The rematch, we can't say enough about how much we're looking forward to it. And I'm with you. I mean, you're a little bit scared now watching how the Bruins played in this game tonight. But nobody got hurt. I mean, Johnny Juzang is still Johnny Juzang. Jules Bernard is still Jules Bernard. Tiger Campbell still Tiger Campbell. But I think the biggest takeaway on a positive tonight, other than Martin Jarman turned 42, happy birthday to the AD. You got David Singleton really stepping out at both ends. He played 25 minutes. Normally he plays 7 or 8. So David really got some run tonight and did a lot with it. But Peyton Watson, the prodigy out of Long Beach Poly, the guy who's just such a tremendous talent. You know, you add him to a Final Four team, it's like giving a marathon champion like a 2-mile head start. That's what everybody was thinking about this team. You add Peyton Watson. Well, tonight you needed Peyton Watson. He was not just some accoutrement.
Right. Well, I mean, when you add 2 valuable pieces to the puzzle and you lose one with Cody Riley being injured, there's still going to be chemistry issues that's got to be worked out. And you hope they work that out before the Pac-12 season starts.
Only 3 in double figures tonight, and only 1 was a starter. That was Johnny Juzang, who was reining in those long, long threes early. But all the other starters just wasn't their night. The other double-digit guys were Watson and Singleton with 19 and 13.
And I tell you, those two guys, Watson was a plus 19, Singleton was a plus 11. And we mentioned Hawkins not having his best stuff. He was a plus 15 because of all the other stuff that he does.
Right, on a 3 of 11 shooting night, and it started 1 for 9. He hit his last 2 to get to 3 of 11. Bruins do survive it. They beat scrappy little Bellarmine, a college of 3,200. in Louisville, Kentucky. And they almost made a name for themselves tonight. 75-62 is the final the Bruins take.
All right, so at that point, the Bruins 5-0 and tying on the Lobster Bibs for Gonzaga. Just the 43rd 1-versus-2 matchup in the history of Division I college basketball. The first one west of the Mississippi with teams based west of the Mississippi since John Wooden's final game. The win over Kentucky for national title number 10 down in San Diego in the mid-1970s. This game, well, it did not go well. So, well, let's head back to Vegas where Tracy and I had the breakdown after the fact.
Well, before you settle in for Thanksgiving, not a lot of thanks being given, unfortunately, by Bruin fans tonight. Instead of pumpkin pie, it was humble pie tonight, Tracy Murray. A 33-11 lead at one point for Gonzaga. And when you dig a hole that deep, it's just so tough to get out. Bruins lose 83-63.
But you know what? They were riding the wave of last year for so long. This is a much-needed butt-kicking to let them know that this is not last year. This is now this year. It's a new season. So, you know, you need a little bit of humble pie to get you back on, in gear. So hopefully they can rally up the troops and get one on Saturday against UNLV.
A remarkable statistical twist or two in this game. The Bruins took 20 more shots than Gonzaga, but lost by 20 points. The Bruins were simply inefficient, and Gonzaga, it's tough to be any more efficient than they were. They moved the ball so well. They came in shooting 56% this year. That leads the nation. And against a supposedly very good UCLA defense, they shot 56% tonight.
Weaknesses are exposed against good teams. The lack of rebounding, the lack of being able to keep somebody in front of them, the downhill drives off of pick and rolls or in transition. And there was a layup drill tonight for a second too, Josh. And the Bruins have to find a way to make shots or basket attempts tougher. You can't allow point blank layups in transition or off of pick and rolls downhill into the paint and finish it. Or little pocket passes without the rotation coming for somebody big to lay the ball up or dunk it.
Noting that there weren't a lot of rebounds to collect early on, although the Bruins certainly could have collected their own misses, but that wasn't happening. The fives for the Bruins, the centers, that really were going to have to battle tonight with Holmgren and Timmy. To me, this is a remarkable stat. Nuba out-rebounded Johnson, but the two of them combined for five rebounds in this game. Jalen Clark, who's much smaller, came in and was able to get a few, but if you get two rebounds from your seven-footer, Miles Johnson got two rebounds in 20 minutes against Gonzaga. That just is not going to work.
No, it's not going to cut it. And we knew with Cody Riley going down that there was going to be a hole in the middle. But at the same time, you know, you got to block shots. You got to rebound. You got to protect the basket. Guards that are out front can't allow blow-bys to where the bigs can't come over and help. And when the bigs switch off on pick and rolls at the high post, they got to be able to contain the dribbler for at least two dribbles so the help can get there. If there are blow-bys, there's no one that can help.
You know, the game 7 months ago, there were 21 lead changes and 13 ties. One of each tonight. That's it. Because once the Bruins fell behind, they just kept falling further and further behind. The layups, to me, Tracy, the biggest thing of all. There are going to be nights where you go 2 of 12 from distance. Hopefully not a lot of them, but that's what the Bruins did tonight. Went 2 of 12. But they started out 2 of 13 on layups. And meantime, Gonzaga hit 7 of its first 8.
Well, when you have a Chet Holmgren in there who may not block the layups, but he alters shots. You have Drew Timmy, who's 6'10". He alters shots. He may not block them. You know, the Bruins start playing mind games with themselves. Instead of going to their chest, drawing a foul, and going to the free throw line, they start double pumping or adjusting their layups. When you do that, you're going to miss shots.
At one point in this game, Juzang and Johnson at least had combined to go 5 of 11. But every other Bruin at that particular point, 2 for 23. And it goes without saying, if that's happening, I mean, Jaquez was not hitting layups and Bernard was missing shots he normally hits with his eyes closed. But Jules started this game 1 for 8 after 1 for 7 against Bellarmine. Just not his finest hours at all here in Vegas. Capable of so much better. The bench, which was great, obviously, against Bellarmine, really had not much to do in this game except for Jalen Clark. Peyton Watson followed his 19-point game with a zero, stepping up a level in competition, and it showed tonight as the Bruins lose by 20.
Clearly, the Bruins are not ready right now. Clearly, they know that they have work to do. Clearly, they know how big the bullseye is on their chest, even with a number one opponent. So, back to the drawing board. Time to circle up the wagons, and let's get back to work.
All right, that's what we had to say, and you could probably hear the disappointment in our voices. Our Mick Cronin conversation brought to you by Guerrilla Marketing coming up right now. Guerrilla, a very proud sponsor of UCLA Athletics. If you ever wonder who creates the branded signs and banners that you see flying so proudly around campus, that's Guerrilla Marketing. They are proud UCLA alums, and they have provided branded swag to alumni from Anderson School of Management to David Geffen School of Medicine, much, much more. They outfit countless clubs and associations on campus with T-shirts and sweatshirts and jackets, you name it. Who prints Bruin Blue Magazine? Who prints the Rose Bowl Stadium Guide? The UCLA Hall of Fame induction programs, football posters and schedule cards, all that stuff is Guerrilla Marketing. And you can probably see they know what they're doing. You are going to like working with these people, too, a lot. So fun, so easy, and as we have mentioned, I think they are Bruins proud. They have a 12,000-foot warehouse as well. So if you got a big order, they know what to do with it, and they know how to get it to you. Everything smooth as silk. For everything you need to know, hit them up at guerrillamarketing.net. All right, let's go, courtesy of Guerrilla Marketing, to our Mick Cronin conversation post-game against Gonzaga. Even getting Mick set at the scorer's table did not go real well.
So gracious of Mick Cronin to join us right now. I'm going to turn the headphone down for him to make sure that he still has hearing. More down. Can you hear okay? Okay. Thanks, Mick.
I can't hear myself, but I can hear you guys.
Well, we don't want to deafen you. That's the...
You almost did.
Yeah, sorry about that. Well, it's been that kind of night, unfortunately.
You guys are way up here.
Yeah, we really are. So what did it look like from down there? I'm sure same as it did up here. You just dug too deep of a hole, I guess is how to describe it.
Yeah, look. They played really well. We did not. We missed a lot of shots we normally make. That has nothing to do with the point at hand. What it looked like to me was 14-0 on layups at halftime. Mm-hmm. And then the game's over. So we struggle with running back and getting the ball stopped. And that's on me. That's embarrassing at the highest peak. Now, I've been trying to tell everybody, nobody's really been listening because we were ranked second. First of all, Cody being out's a problem.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Absolutely.
But that doesn't have anything to do with five guys can't run back inside the three-point line, turn around as a team and stop the ball. Seven straight times. They're not in a row, but in the first half, they did that seven times and laid it in. So that, in effect, gives you absolutely no chance. So just look, to wrap that up, I've told you guys this for 3 years. If you only win when when you're on fire and you're playing great on offense, you're going to be a .500 team. You better fill out your NIT papers.
Right.
Because, the ball always doesn't go in.
Yeah.
So you got to be able to hang your hat. And the people say, Mick Cronin is about toughness. No. It's not just Mick Cronin, okay? It's Nick Saban. It's Tom Izzo. It's Jay Wright. You got to play defense and give yourself a chance by not giving up layups.
Right.
You got to give yourself a chance, okay? And then you got to know that Andrew Nembhard has gone right every time. And up until 1 minute left in the game, we let him go right and lay it in. Again.
Right. And I do want to ask you, Mick, if you don't mind, on the other side with layups, and we were charting it. I mean, they made two of their first 13 layups. Is that Chet Holmgren and his length?
You said
UCLA.
The Bruins made two of their first 13. I'm sorry. The Bruins made two of their first 13.
Yes.
Yeah.
Layups.
Sure. I mean, some of that would be his length. Some of that's not having Cody, Kenny and Miles struggle at times to finish. Some of that.
But even Jaquez was struggling to finish in there
We were pressing.
Yeah, I thought they may have been
keyed
up a little bit.
And I think we got down a little bit and we were pressing. You got to go up with some strength and score or get fouled. The other thing I would like to see, to be honest with you guys, is if you don't have the angle, the way we shoot the ball, we work on this every day, every day. If you don't have the angle, is we work on what we call a running stride stop, because you're drawing a lot of help. Turn and throw it behind you to the three-point line. We did not – Jaime's got to do that. Because everybody, they just started running the whole kitchen sink down in there at him. We got to hit the guy behind and shoot it in. And there was times, you know, once we started trying to move the ball more and play, you know, where we looked like a team, trying to work hard to get a great shot. But it was too little too late, you know. And then, you know, the team gets on a run, guys make shots they don't normally make when they're up 15 or up 16. You're just letting it fly.
Yeah.
You know, there's no game pressure on some of their guys that threw in some shots that, you know, were desperation late clock. When it rains, it pours sometimes. But this game boils down to our inability to play better defense. Our defensive numbers are embarrassing. I've been saying this to you guys and over and over. Now, we've played the whole season other than 3 minutes without Cody. You know, we have no team fouls with 11 minutes in the game.
Hmm.
Okay? And so we got to get aggressive. We got to get aggressive.
Yep.
We try to press, we're backing up. I'm going to have a brain aneurysm trying to get guys to get up and pressure the ball. We got too many guys backing up. You know, but hey, it's all me. I take full responsibility, guys. I take, you know, obviously, look, they're a great team. They were hitting on all cylinders. But when you let a great team play downhill and start getting a whole bunch of layups and make it easy on them. And then we tried to play some hero ball for a little while there, trying to make it, you know, there's no such thing as a 10-point shot. you know, they're shooting layups, and we're trying to make a hard, quick shot where you got to work it. So we didn't look like a veteran team at times out there. You know, I think that we got a little deer in the headlights look when we were giving up all those layups. But that's really, you know, the crux of the game, man.
I thought Jalen Clark showed some fight.
Oh, yeah. He always does. I couldn't agree with you more. Here's your proof, Tracy. He's got 5 offensive rebounds. Right. I told the guys in the locker room, if it wasn't for him, we get beat 35.
Absolutely.
He also gets to the foul line.
Yeah,
there's a flurry of them there for a while.
Does that have to do with, and I know the bug has been going through the locker room.
No.
All right.
I appreciate it. Offering me up an excuse to grab, but no, absolutely not.
Well, Cody's not an excuse. That's a fact. I mean, that was harmful tonight. I know you're eager to turn the page, Mick, and you've got a Thanksgiving dinner with the fellas. I'm sure it'll be a lot to teach them and talk about, getting ready for UNLV. Try and enjoy the holidays, my friend. Sure. I know this didn't go the way you wanted to at all, but hey, after 33-10, it did get better, and I'm sure your guys will get better and learn from this too. Thank you so much for coming up.
We appreciate all the support. I feel terrible for our fans that made the trip to Vegas, because there was great Bruins support here tonight.
Yep.
It was great. You know, felt a lot of pride being the coach and having been in this game. I feel like we let everybody down, but we will be back.
Yes, you will.
All right.
Sorry about your ears, by the way, too. All right, thanks again to Mick, presented by Guerrilla Marketing. UCLA 5-1 at that point with that loss. And then some redemption, the opportunity Saturday afternoon against the formerly running Rebels of UNLV. They don't run a lot these days, quite honestly. And sure enough, they had only 22 points at halftime, ended with 51. The Bruins win this game 73-51, started on a 14-2 tear, and just kind of established that this would not be the Gonzaga game all over again. Jules Bernard ended up with 18 points. He made 3 threes. Tiger Campbell, 15 points, started hitting runners in the lane again like he did a lot last March. Jaime Jaquez Jr. had a scare. He took an errant elbow from Miles Johnson. We're going to hear from Miles in just a little bit, by the way. He was bloodied but not bowed. He stuck around and gave the team 12 points. Johnny Juzang, 12 points. But that's all he averaged those 3 games in Vegas. Jalen Clark had 6 off the bench and 6 rebounds, as he always seems to have. Kenny Nuba had a bucket. David Singleton hit a 3-point shot. The Bruins end up with 73 points. And the defense, really the catalyst of that one. That and the rebounding. The Bruins a 47-27 advantage on the boards against UNLV. Mention Miles Johnson, and Miles the Monster is his nickname. Now, this is not a scary guy off the court at all. He's a fascinating guy off the court.
Thought you'd like to meet him. The Long Beach native, Rutgers transfer. We'll go one-on-one with him thanks to the Newport Rib Company, where John Ursini is the man. If you want to throw a great tailgate without doing all the cooking, Newport Rib Company has you covered. Give them a call at 949-631-2110, and you too can eat like a champion. Newport Rib Company, Bruins owned and operated for over 35 years. Like we always say, they have a lot of competition, but their ribs don't. Really appreciate them being part of all this. Wonderful people, wonderful food. Let's talk to a wonderful addition to the Bruins program. Here's my sit-down with Miles Johnson. Pleasure to have Miles Johnson with us, one of the more interesting men in America, and just so great to have you coming home. Do you still kind of look around like, now this feels right? I mean, nothing against Rutgers and Piscataway, but this probably feels a little different.
Oh, yeah, definitely glad to be home. You know, driving around, I know where I am. I know all my streets. I have my car, my family. I get to see my little sister, parents, and my dog, so it's definitely great to be home.
Tell me about your parents a little bit. I've read and heard that it's not like they're humongous human beings like you are. How did that work that you're close to 7 feet and they're closer to six?
My dad, he's above average height. My mom is slightly above average. So being freakishly tall, I don't really know exactly where it came from. But fortunately, even my sister, she's 6 feet tall and she's a senior in high school. So she's tall for her age. So honestly, I don't know where exactly we got our height from. But, you know, I'm never complaining about being 6'10".
We're burying the lead. You mentioned the dog. Is this a tall dog, too? Or what kind of dog are you?
Our dog's on the opposite end. She's a teacup Yorkie. So she's only 6'7". She's about the size of my hand. She's really small.
Those hands of yours and the wingspan, people notice them. And I'm just wondering, what age were you when you started kind of looking down at your hands going, well, wait, these are different than other people's. And when I stretch out my arms, I go further than other people.
Oh, yeah. All throughout my life, I've kind of been like the tall kid. I remember like class photos in early elementary schools, like everyone's here and I'm just a little bit taller, sitting next to the teacher. Me and the teacher are like right next to each other. But just being the bigger kid throughout my whole life, I've kind of just always known like, I'm built different than other kids. You know, kids will pick up basketball and they pick me because I'm 8 sky over all the other little kids and stuff like that. So growing up with having big hands and big arms and stuff has been an advantage, at least, you know, on the playground and stuff like that. But it's definitely helped me throughout my basketball career a lot because, you know, that's one of my key features is having an extreme length and, you know, being able to catch the ball with my hands.
What to educate someone like me who has small hands and a small, you know, small body, too. What are some of the downfalls in terms, I'm just thinking of like holding a pen or brushing your teeth, right? I mean, these things probably play different for you.
Yeah, definitely. Picking up how to use chopsticks with big hands is kind of tough. They're not really made for super long fingers. I bought some extra long chopsticks just to help, you know, get them to work right. But even writing and everything is a bit different, but just something I've gotten used to over my entire life.
Well, you've used your hands and your brain in sync so well. I'm fascinated by your interest in STEM and what you're trying to do to get other kids involved. Can you just kind of back us up a little bit and tell us, for those that don't know, what exactly are you trying to get done?
Oh, yeah. I started an organization looking to get more people like me, of minority, into the world of STEM because throughout most of my life in all my STEM classes, I was the only black kid or even kid of minority, any really. And I never had a black professor teach any one of my STEM topics and stuff like that. So it's just a bit of underrepresentation in our field. And a lot of organizations like NSBE, I'm a part of NSBE chapter here at Rutgers, and they look to help that same reason. You get resources together for people like us and kind of just get us all together in one spot. You know, you're not alone. And it's always, like, helpful to see people like you striving to be something you want to be and, you know, kind of push and have people that, you know, you can relate to in your field that you can look up to and, you know, work with and stuff like that. So just to get more representation in the overall field is my overall goal.
Is part of the motivation for you, Miles, in succeeding at basketball to build kind of a scaffold on which to stand so you can shine this light, right? I mean, if you're going to succeed in basketball, if you go to the NBA, you've got a megaphone, right, to kind of get this out there.
Yeah, definitely. Being a collegiate athlete alone, even that has a big platform that you get to stand on. And when you're on that platform, when you say things, you know, a lot of people get to hear you. It gets widespread a lot. Mm-hmm. And throughout my career at Rutgers and here at UCLA, just the spreading the word of my organization has done tremendous, and, you know, people have reached out all over the world wanting to help. And that just goes to a test that, you know, people actually care what you have to say when you're, you know, a college basketball player. People look up to people like that. You know, little kids will walk up to you and be like, oh, I want to be just like you, and now they'll be just like me being a basketball player or being an engineer or something like that. So that alone just makes me feel good that I could inspire people like that.
Yeah, for sure. So who were – I'm going to ask you two tracks here. Basketball players you admired growing up and engineers or educators that you admired growing up.
Oh, yeah, basketball-wise, you know, me being the big kid I was, Shaq was also, you know, a huge player compared to everyone else, and he was extremely dominant the way he was, and definitely, I think, one of the best, like, bigger – there's not really a lot of big players like him anymore, so one of the – definitely the best big player out, or at least that I could have filmed to watch. Mm-hmm. And in the world of STEM – growing up, I would watch we always had Bill Nye the Science Guy videos.
Yeah, sure.
I used to love those videos in class. And even now, Neil deGrasse Tyson is another huge role, another black guy, actually, in the world of STEM. And he makes, like, a lot of videos on YouTube and stuff like that. You can follow. He has his own little series on History Channel and stuff like that.
Do you find yourself going down some YouTube rabbit holes? Like, once you find something like that, you just keep going?
Oh, yeah, definitely. And if I find something I like on YouTube, I'll find, like, three other creators that do right. it and find, you know, a whole bunch of recommends and just keep going down and down and down. So I definitely do fall into the YouTube rabbit hole for sure.
Last one for you, Miles. You know, because I could talk basketball with you all day, but I'm just fascinated by your STEM stuff. So for somebody, let's say, who's listening to this, has a four-year-old kid, five-year-old kid, and they notice that they're pretty good with Legos, or they like, you know, right? Is that kind of how you got started, too? Is that how your parents noted, or your teachers noticed, like, hey, he's got an aptitude for that?
Yeah, I mean, early on, I voiced to my parents that, you know, math is kind of what I like to do. You know, you're a little kid, you have the little times tables you would do. I finished those first every time in class, flip the paper. I took that very serious. Right. So just when, I guess, kids notice, like, you know, they like certain subjects over, like, language arts, or they like science the most, definitely my parents were always able to put, like, more resources in front of me. I did a program called Saturday Science. It was, like, Saturday little experiments you would do, dissections. Went to California Science Museum. Just general math problems you would do, or projects and stuff like that. That just builds more knowledge. So always basically reach out and always try to expand your knowledge is what advice I'll give to younger kids when you in areas that you find interest in.
Right.
Yeah.
Great. Good stuff. Your sliders are getting cold. Your ice cream is melting. I got to let you go. Thank you, pal.
Thank you. Thank you.
Now, what a great addition to the court and locker room. Miles the Monster, Miles Johnson. You can follow him on Twitter at Miles the Monster. Hey, real quick, the Wooden Athletic Fund supports the excellence of our student athletes in the classroom, in competition, and community. You can become a member for just $9 a month. Invest in tomorrow's champions today. To learn more, you go to woodenathleticfund.com. The next Bruins home game on the hardwood, that is Wednesday, December 1st. And this is a conference game, believe it or not. The Colorado Buffaloes in on a Wednesday night. Hope to see you there. This is Josh Lewin. Thanks again for tuning in. Fours up and go Bruins.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.